Army Intelligence Captain Kenneth Bombay served in Iraq. President of the Suffolk Police Veterans Association for 10 years, represented 400-plus veterans, many Afghan vets. Numerous trips he coordinated as far as visiting the wounded with his incredible organization. Those visits at Walter Reed, member of the Veterans Affairs Committee for the County Executive and the former Congressman, by the way, Steve Israel. My pleasure to have him back, Captain Kenneth Bombase. Cap, great having you back. First off, a belated Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year, Jay. It's great to be back.
You know, we had you on during the botched withdrawal in Afghanistan, and botched proportions as well, as far as that press conference last week, if you call it that, from this president. You know, the minor incursion, he would allow that, and that set off the shockwaves and everything else. And here we are on the brink of a war. The evacuation, the announcement coming out yesterday, you know what? Americans, evacuate, please. You know, so we've got a dire situation brewing right now. 100,000-plus troops. Who's blinking first here? That's the big question. Captain, where are we at?
So, Jay, I mean, I would say, honestly, this has been handled improperly since the beginning. I mean, we don't even have to just refer to this incident. We could go back to 2014 when there was the invasion and the annexation of Crimea. We could even go back to the end of the Cold War and how they handled this. But as far as this most recent handling of this most recent threat with 125,000 troops now on the border, it's, you know, what happens when you handle something so poorly from the beginning is it leaves you with very limited options. And that's why we're seeing what we're seeing right now as far as threats of sending a few thousand troops, not to Ukraine, but just to Eastern Europe. That's the best they could do at this stage. But I think it's really important for people to look at this from, you know, a historical perspective and, you know, Vladimir Putin and why this is happening in the first place. You know, Vladimir Putin is like a product of the Cold War. He's a true believer, Jay. When I was in Germany in 1988 to 90, I was here when the Berlin Wall came down, which was a critical time for Vladimir Putin and for the former Soviet Union, because it was the end of the Cold War, the end of Soviet Union as we knew it, and the Eastern Bloc. And they saw that, people like Vladimir Putin and many Russians today, as a humiliating, tragic incident that took place when the Soviet Empire crumbled like it was. It's key to remember that right now, Jay, most Russians, they do not blame Vladimir Putin for this escalation. They blame the West. You know, he's not struggling at home with support from his people. They're behind him in this. I mean, not behind going to war necessarily, but they don't blame him for the position that he's in. They blame us. And so he really has very few limitations right now to take action. And as you just mentioned, you know, during that press conference last week, he was basically given the green light to do whatever he wants. When you make a statement, when the U.S. president makes a statement like that, and he says, you know, it depends on what Russia does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion, and then we end up fighting over what to do or what not to do. I mean, that is a wildly dangerous comment for the U.S. president to make during such a critical time. You know, guys like Vladimir Putin, they understand one thing, strength. That's it. And we have not displayed that in this scenario at all. And he knows that. He really has all the options on the table. Now, I'll go one step further back, Jay. A few months ago, when President Biden stated that military option was off the table. And I think that was also a critical mistake when dealing with someone like Vladimir Putin. Not to say we were ready to have a massive invasion of Europe to go and fight in Ukraine against Russia, but you never take that. I don't think a U.S. president should ever say military options off the table, ever. I mean, what if this turned into a war over here where he's killing hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians? I think then we might take steps, right? Why would you take that off the table and tell him that? I think it was a mistake.
You know, Cap, I was listening to Senator Joni Ernst yesterday. And the fact, you know, she called for immediate sanctions against Russia. over this potential invasion of Ukraine. And that move was rejected by a good old Secretary of State Anthony Blinken. What, you know, I mean, you have a lot of confidence. Do we have a lot of confidence in Blinken the way he handled Afghanistan? Okay. So he heads over there. I mean, do we have a lot of confidence at all with anything that Blinken does? Blinken should have been removed from the office, by the way. We spoke about this ad nauseum.
We have.
Back in the summer.
I mean,
how do you have confidence in Anthony Blinken? How do you have confidence, Captain, in a president with weakness all over the place being shown all over the globe? How do you, and that plays a big role. Am I correct in saying that? When you are a guy of Vladimir Putin and you see how this president has acted, what do you think? People aren't taking notice of how you handled Afghanistan back at the end of August? And that's the thing that really gets me. He smells weakness. She smells weakness. Kim smells weakness. And that's why the likes of these three are doing what they're doing right now. She's firing off missiles. So is Kim. And look what Putin's doing. Has he budged the 100,000 troops? Has he budged at all? Has he blinked? Weakness plays a massive role, doesn't it?
It does. And I'll tell you, you know, the even the economic sanctions, Jay, I mean, this is an empty threat right now with Vladimir Putin. He's prepared for that. Right now, quite frankly, the constant threat of economic sanctions has done little to prevent him from doing any. First of all, it prevents Crimea in the first place, back in 2014. And right now, they're actually in a good position because European dependence on their natural gas and oil. And also Russia, this 2021, they enjoyed a budget surplus in 2021. The first 6 months from January to June, they had a $626 billion surplus. So they can weather some economic sanctions right now. And he's not someone to be frightened easily. And I think the economic sanctions is what they're threatening because that's all they can at this point. They've put themselves in a corner where we have no other strategy but to do that. We've already said we can't use military forces, and now literally what looks like days before we could have a potential invasion. Last night they say President Biden's considering sending a few thousand troops to neighboring countries. He's talking about Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia. I mean, what do we? That's the big threat to President, to Vladimir Putin. That's not going to stop him. I think what they're doing is the best they can do at this point because they have no other options. They've put themselves in a corner, and they're not doing this. You know, I think people, when they hear the news article last night, they say, well, Biden's considering sending troops, like we're going to go intervene in the invasion. We're not. He's not suggesting that at all. One of the sticking points, one of the things that Vladimir Putin wants right now, the reason he's doing this, is to deny NATO influence so close to Russian borders. So I think by saying, hey, we're going to start building up in some countries around there, places like Poland and Romania, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, I think that it's a negotiating chip. Hey, we won't send them over there, but you have to not invade Ukraine, or at least, as Biden would say, a limited incursion. I think that's his strategy right now. It's a weak strategy, but I think that's all he has left. He has no other options at this point. In my own opinion, I wouldn't be surprised if you've seen an invasion within the next week.
To me, it's imminent. You know, they're telling you to clear out. They're telling Americans clear out. They're not just saying that. You know, it's getting a sense. And I hate to say this also. You know, the Cold War, Germany, you know, this is very, very similar. You know, you read the history books and everything else that unfolded, very similar as far as how Germany, you know, started to flex the muscles and everything else, and look what happened there, you know? Very similar. And you look at this White House now, how they're reacting, okay? Minor incursion, press conference, thinking about loading up the troops, sanctions, you know what? I don't know. Something's missing here, that element. And right now, there is weakness. And if you don't think Putin smells blood in the water, you're crazy. Okay, you're crazy. He is testing. He is testing this power right here. Okay, every minute of every day that goes by. Is he backed off? Is Putin backed off? No. because he smells the weakness here. He knows he can get away with it. What do you think Xi's doing in China? How do you think he's kind of, you know, flexing? How do you think Xi's flexing muscles around Taiwan, what he's doing there? And forget Kim. Kim's doing whatever he wants over there in North Korea. I mean, you got a blank show happening right now around the world. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And am I right in saying that? This is very reminiscent as far as how Germany went about their business way back in time, Cap.
It, definitely. Inaction, right? Isolationism. That's what this is. Inaction, not taking a strong position, and they feel that they can do what they want. The world took no action. And right now, from these, this, first let's start with Afghanistan. You know, the world, bad world actors, people like Vladimir Putin, people like the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and like you mentioned, soon we might see, you know, the world is watching this, and you might see China have an incident, have a take action against Taiwan. Because they, everyone right now, all the bad actors in the world are saying, we have 3 more years to do what we want, because they see no leadership. They see no strength. We are the last remaining, supposed to be the last remaining superpower right now as it stands, with China, you know, rising quickly. And we're taking all the wrong steps. We've showed a weak posture in Afghanistan. We've showed, and by the way, China also moved in to take advantage of some opportunities there as well. They're watching this, and they feel that we have 3 years to do, take whatever action we want with limited response from the United States. And that's a very dangerous thing. The entire world stage can change in 3 years. And you think about it, Jay, I'm not sure what hope we have to change things. Blinken is the complete appearance of weakness. He didn't during the Afghanistan incident or you know, disaster, debacle, and now we see it too. What could possibly change? The midterms, possibly? Maybe we have some change in other, you know, legislative leaders in Congress and the Senate, possibly. But 3 years is a very long time. Everybody's watching what we do right now. They watch what we did in Afghanistan. And I think the world's going to be a very different place when the next president takes office in 3 years.
Talk about being disunited. I mean, that's what Biden is showing right now. He all but admitted this stuff. And it's really very concerning. Very concerning. You're telling me this is what Biden said. It depends on what Putin does as to the exact to what extent we're going to be able to get total unity as far as on the NATO front. Okay? I mean, yeah, okay. So Putin's calculating what the immediate and long-term consequences are as far as how Russia will go about their business. But listen, this guy has the upper hand, Putin. He has the initiative. He has options. America, the West, disunited. Biden, all that admitted it. And Putin is following the playbook. Okay? He is following the playbook. And you go back, folks, 15, 16, 17 years, whatever it was, the demise of the Soviet Union and everything else that occurred. So, in essence, it is an absolute mess. And the White House is failing to comprehend the magnitude of it all, Captain. They are failing by the day to comprehend what is going on here. And that's the biggest issue right now. And we're letting Putin play out these cards. And you can't see strong leaders. You can't wait for the next move from a guy like Putin. You've got to take the initiative, okay? Words are cheap, especially coming from this guy in Joe Biden, especially after that disaster of a press conference last week. Words are cheap. So, I tell you, it's a tough one. Final thought, my friend.
It is. So it is a tough one, and I'll tell you, Jay, with all the criticism we've just laid out, I always like to say, I don't like to just criticize without saying, well, what would I do? One thing for sure is historically I would not have handled it this way and we'd be in a different position right now. Since 2014, that's when I would have been sending troops to NATO countries, not now. I would have been building, I probably would have had Ukraine in NATO by now. But the bottom line is I would have taken those steps to have a stronger Europe that could withstand something like this, and Putin probably wouldn't challenge it with so many NATO forces there. We've let it become drastically weak in our European presence. When I was in Germany, we had as many people in Europe as we have in the entire army now. I mean, we had a strong force there. I would be conducting, even now, let's say now, given the hand that we have, I wouldn't be sending a few thousand. If they do some kind of an incursion, as President Biden says, well, I would be putting a massive presence. I would make NATO relevant again. I would be sending 50,000 troops over there and lots of equipment, weaponry to these countries, training, and then constant training. I'll tell you, Jay, when I was in Germany, there was a training exercise, the largest in U.S. military history, called Reforger, which is an acronym for Return of Forces to Germany. And what we would do is we would bring troops, divisions, entire divisions back. The troops in Germany, like myself, would pose as the Soviet Union, and we would have this huge war game with divisions as if Russia came across the border and East Germany, and we were at war. It would go on for over a month. That's what you know what it served as? Not only did it train our troops, it was a massive deterrent. The Soviets would watch when we did these training exercises. They knew everything. They knew all of our troop strength, and it's a deterrent. And I would be doing that exactly right now. I'd be building our NATO presence, make it relevant again, and send not 3,000 and 4,000, but 50,000 to 100,000, not just U.S. troops, but NATO troops in those countries surrounding Ukraine and near the Russian border. If he wants to play this game and he thinks that he could invade countries, well, he's going to pay the price. I just don't know if our current leadership has the stomach for that.
I think it does. We're going to be watching it. You're going to be with us as far as any breaking events. We cannot thank you enough. Again, a very belated Happy New Year. Great to have you back. Tough circumstances. But the world awaits another big day here as far as what could happen. My friend, you take care, and we'll have you on again. Maybe even tomorrow.
You too.
We'll be in touch.
Thanks, Jay.